Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. This week, I am here with a wonderful guest by the name of Megan Jones. She's joined us before, and she hosts the Chasing Spirituality podcast. So thank you, Megan, for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be back.
So we are just going to have a casual conversation about our experiences with the archangels. I get a lot of questions about interacting with angels in general, archangels, people wondering, how do I contact? What is it supposed to look like, feel like, you know? And there are a bazillion books on this everywhere. I mean, I think, you know, you can really look it up anywhere, but I think I've also received some feedback too, sometimes when I'm channeling angels, because I think people have a very specific view of what they speak about and what they don't speak about. So I just wanted to start from the beginning and kind of ask you, at what point in your life did you begin to interact with the archangels, and who was kind of like the initial crew?
Okay. Yeah. So I actually was very in tune with the angels when I was really, really young, but I forgot about that. I kind of went through this time when I was growing up, and I started to become afraid of spirit. So I really just disconnected from everything. Now, I don't think that they left me, but I stopped allowing myself to experience it. But when memories started to come back to me, I remembered many occasions with the angels. And they were honestly like my best friends. They were always there for me. They always were hanging around me. They were always supporting me and nurturing me and giving me, like, I don't know, like that love and attention that I didn't really get from my parents growing up. And so for me, that's what they were for me as a kid. They just gave me that unconditional love that I didn't really get to feel from my parents. And one of, like, the strongest memories that I have with the angels is actually with Archangel Michael. And my father was in the hospital. He was passing away from cancer when I was 4 and 5. And my mom was driving us back and forth to the hospital a lot, and she wasn't getting a lot of sleep. And one night she was falling asleep while we were on the road. And I remember the car swerving back and forth a little bit, and I was afraid. And Archangel Michael told me, it's safe to go to sleep. It's safe to go to sleep. And so I remember closing my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, all I saw was this white light. And he just told me, keep your eyes closed. Don't open your eyes. And all I could see, you know, was just, I could feel like this white light all around me. I could see it even though my eyes were closed. And when I woke up, we had crashed, and we had actually went down like an embankment, and we hit my side, but I was completely fine. I didn't have a scratch on me. And this memory came, I always remembered the experience, but I kind of blocked out some parts of it. And as I started connecting to the angels as an adult, he let me have that memory back. And he kind of told me, we've always been here. We've always been supporting you. We've always been around, giving you what you needed. You just forgot. And so that's one of, I guess, the strongest memories that I have. And I can say for sure that Archangel Michael was always around me as a kid, protecting me, protecting my energy, because I was also really empathic. There were a lot of negative people that I was around, and it was really hard for me to manage absorbing all of those negative emotions and the negative intentions, and not really understanding why people acted this way and why people were bad people. And I felt so different. I felt so secluded. And he kept reminding me, like, we've always been here. We've always been here. We've always been your support system. You've never been left alone. And that was really, that was just really important for me to know, because growing up, I remember feeling alone. You know, I remember not feeling included and not feeling like I belonged. But he was like, that wasn't always the case. You know, you did have support. And so that kind of helped me, you know, realize that they are here for me, you know, like they are my family.
Yes, definitely. That's a really amazing story. I can't even imagine. I think the best part, which is what you're kind of just talking about, this whole idea of never being alone, because, you know, it feels that way a lot of the time when we are really going through some really difficult times, or when we're raised in a family where you don't connect or there's a lot of challenges, it really does feel like, man, I'm just on this planet that's spinning around in space all by myself. And there's nobody who's got me, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's such a beautiful, I'd like to say it's a beautiful thought, but it's a beautiful knowing that even though it feels like an independent journey and we're trying to figure it out most of the time by ourselves, that really they're kind of trying to whisper things, encourage, even though we might not be able to like see it with the naked eye.
Yeah. Like when he gave me the full memory back, because I always remembered the experience. I just didn't really remember why. And what's funny is I was really young, but the memory was it was still very vivid to me. Like I could remember, you know, the crash happening. But, you know, being like a 4 or 5 year old kid, a lot of times you might remember someone telling you about it, but you don't remember the memory. So when he gave me that gift, it was really comforting. And it felt so right at the same time. And, you know, I get emotional just talking about it, because just feeling that love that you always have with the angels, it's indescribable.
That is very, very true. I remember the same thing. Like when I first, when I was a lot older and I was brave enough to like do some of this stuff, Archangel Michael was the first Archangel that I had spoken with as well. And it was very unexpected. And like I said, I was a lot older at the time. I mean, I'm even older now, but at the time, you know, I was older. And I remember the first discussion that we had, and he was a very, you know, he's a very powerful presence. And I do get that protective presence, but I also kind of get that, I don't know, like this wise, experienced father figure to a certain extent at times when I deal with him. And I remember the first interaction, and I don't want to say he was impatient with me, but I think I was asking him, I mean, I was just first starting, you know, starting to hear again, and I had a million stupid questions, and he indulged every single one of them, but I felt like the eye roll when I was asking all these stupid questions. But it was an amazing, and yes, a very loving experience. And I think sometimes, like, I don't know, sometimes I sit back and I think about just being on this planet and as a little human, you know, going about the day to day. And then I think about all of them hanging out, watching, overseeing, like trying to help keep us on the path and give us information, lift us up. I don't know. It seems kind of like just crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that with the eye roll, because he's done that for me a few times too, where he definitely has like that tough love piece where he's like, look, like I love you and you know, it's unconditional, but he won't sugarcoat things, and he'll definitely check you if you need it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And that's okay. That's a fantastic point, because sometimes when I'm channeling the archangels, like there's some hard conversations that I've had, and they're tough to listen to. And like you said, there's not a lot of sugarcoating, kind of depending on who's speaking, but yes, he's very direct with me. And I wanted to tell people that, because, and from someone else as well, because I feel like there's this expectation that it's all butterflies and unicorns and rainbows, and it's going to be all right. All right. And it's, you know, there are tough times, and we make excuses sometimes, and we don't always hold ourselves accountable. And,
oh yeah,
you know, I think it is very helpful to have that external, I don't know, group of spirits or light beings who keep it real with you. And they know when you're kind of even BSing, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like to think of it as like an actual parent or like an actual best friend or someone who really cares about you. If they really care about you, the love's not going to change, but if you need to be called out on something, they're going to call you out.
Yes, and that's happened to me many times. When I think of like who has been the most strict with me, there's one, God, I was like, do I say his name? There's one who's been with me for several years, and that's Archangel Uriel. And he's very, and I had asked him, like, why are you here all the time? I don't call you anymore. Like, why do you come all the time? And he he was like, you are the kind of person who needs someone who is very direct. And you don't like, you don't like things sugar-coated at all. You want the facts and you want somebody to keep it real. And that's what I do with you, even if it's hard to hear. And he's so right. Like, I'm that type of person. Like, I need to hear that, you know, otherwise I'm not going to believe it or I'm not going to respond well. So I wanted to know, when you first started really interacting, like, who was the initial, like, who were the ones that stepped forward the most?
So when I first started interacting with the angels as an adult, because there was definitely a long period of time where I did not interact with any spiritual beings, I guess I kind of like stepped back from my spiritual connection for a long time because I was scared. And I, you know, pop culture makes you believe that things are really a lot more out of your control. And so I was really scared. But actually, I had a session with a psychic medium, and she told me, she was like, "Do you do any work with the angels?" And I was kind of surprised because at this moment, that word was a little triggering for me because I went through religious trauma and I had kind of deconstructed a lot of my faith around a Christian upbringing. And so the word angels was a little triggering for me. And so I just kind of turned my head and I was like, "No." And she said, "You need to, because I can feel them all around you. I can hear them in your voice." She's like, "I really think that you're meant to work with angels." And it's like when she said that, something clicked and I was like, "Oh, what? Wow. Like, you're right." And that's when I started opening myself up to angels again. And I want to say the first angels that came through at that moment was Michael and Raphael. So Michael was the one letting me know, like, "You've always been protected." He came forth with these messages and that story where I was able to see how he had been a part of my life and how I'd always been safe. I'd always been protected, even though I felt afraid at moments or I felt, you know, secluded or let down or neglected. He was like, "We've never left you." And then Raphael came in with this serene, calming presence, just this healing energy of, "You've been working with me for years, sis, and you just didn't even know. Like, I've been healing you. That green that you've been seeing, that's been me. I've been working on you. I've been helping with those limiting beliefs. Like, you just didn't know." And I was like, "Oh, wow, like that's really neat." And so that kind of helped me kind of get started and understand that they've always been there. I just didn't know it.
So how do you, if somebody were to come up to you and ask you or tell you, I want to meet the archangels, what would you say would be a step they can take in order to begin, I don't know, working with them?
So I always tell people they're already working with you. You're just not really aware of it. So they're, you know that for sure. Know and believe that they're already a part of your life. They're already working with you. They're looking after you. You're just not aware of their presence, or you haven't really been able to fine-tune that connection. And then my advice is to, once you have that belief set and you know that they're there, set your intentions to strengthen that bond, strengthen that connection, open up that channel of awareness, and then do things to raise your vibration, because they vibrate so high that it's really overwhelming for us to tap into that at times. So if you're vibrating at a lower frequency and you're struggling and you're going through things, they're still going to be there, but it's going to be harder for you to really perceive that in a way to where you can understand the connection.
Exactly. I think that's a very good point. So what is it? Okay. Do you hear them? Do you feel them? Do you see them? All three?
I have a little bit of all three. So My primary is I feel. I'm very, very clairsentient. So I feel spirit more than I see or hear. So I feel their presence a lot, especially if I can actually get myself to meditate and just kind of center in. I feel them instantly. I hear them. I hear Michael the most, I would say. He talks to me the most, especially when I'm asking questions and when I'm trying to get information. He talks to me the most. And seeing is probably my last because it's my weakest clair. I don't, I'm still working on developing. I have a lot of blocks around my clairvoyance. But when I do see, it's usually very quick, very brief flashes of light, or I'll see wings.
Interesting. So what do they feel like? So if somebody says they want to feel the presence of their angels, the archangels, what does it feel like for you? Because I know everybody feels different, you know, but I want to know what it's like for you.
So for me, when I feel the angels, I first feel physically, my body feels very tingly, almost like if your foot fell asleep, but it feels like that throughout my entire body. But there's not the uncomfortableness of it. It feels good. It feels like almost like butterflies in your stomach, but it's all over your whole body. So physically, that's how my body feels. And then I'm just enveloped in this feeling of love and support and connection. And I just feel almost a little bit floaty as well. Like I've just raised a little bit above like my normal vibration. It's like I'm uplifted. So that's how it feels for me.
Does it feel the same for every single archangel that you've interacted with, or are there differences?
I would say for me, there are certain archangels that I feel stronger than other archangels. And I would say that I believe that that's just because I have a stronger connection developed with some of them. Like Archangel Michael is a very, very strong presence. Whereas if I'm talking to maybe Archangel Gabriel, his is a lot more subtle for me.
So have you noticed over time, because this has happened to me and I was curious, have you noticed over time that initially, let's say you were working with Michael and Raphael, that years later, it's kind of changed a little bit where other archangels might be working with you more closely, or has it been consistent over the years?
It's definitely changed for sure. I work with Archangel Michael probably the most, but here lately, Gabriel has been more present for me. And it's because I want to say that it's because I do a lot with my voice. I do a lot of communicating. I have the podcast. I teach a lot of classes on spiritual topics, and he's kind of my go-to for help me deliver messages that are very clear, people can understand, but that I don't get, I don't let my doubts and my insecurities and, you know, that get to me. Let me deliver a message that can really help people. And I think that's why he's kind of stepping in more than Raphael. He doesn't step in as much for me as he did in the beginning of my healing journey. Like when I was first tapping in, he was a lot more involved in my process, but it was because I was still going through a lot of my own personal healing.
Understood. I kind of wanted to bring this to people's attention because, you know, we're always evolving. And like you said, we focus on different things. We make adjustments in life, and certain angels might be more present in your life than others. And at the very beginning for me, it was Michael and it was Gabriel all the time. And now it's, I would like to say almost every time it's Archangel Uriel and Ariel, which I remember when I first heard that, I was like, who? Like, why? I'm like, why are you here? I was like, okay, this is interesting. And for me, when I hear them speak, there's definitely, I hear them differently than the way I used to hear them, but there's definitely differences. And God forbid I use the word personality, but there's definitely differences in word choice. And I think sometimes like the messaging as well. But I definitely do think that like people, when you start to build your relationship or have a stronger connection with the archangel realm, yes, you know, certain ones will come in for a season of your life or be at least more prevalent, but that doesn't mean that you still can't access, you know, all that are completely available.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. For me, I feel like, and this is for the archangels, but I feel like this is also for any divine being that you work with, is they have this energy that they bring. And while they all have this love and this light and this healing and this growth aspect to them, each of their energies are a little different. So if you are really needing protection, you're really needing life purpose, you might get more messages from Michael. If you're really needing work, healing, or with your health, or getting over something, you might feel Raphael more. And so I think that because they each have this energy and this vibration that they bring, depending on what you're going through, what you're working on, and what your struggles are, what you're developing, will kind of depend on which one comes to you at that time.
Definitely. And I do, I know there's a lot of skepticism around, of course, believing that there are like there are divine beings around us that really do us, assist us. Like, I totally understand the skepticism, but the one thing I would encourage people to do is just try. Like, just try to connect. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen, if you want to work with them? Like you said, they're unconditionally loving and they're really here to help us because it's a very difficult place, and we forget everything before we come here, even though we've been here a million times. And we might not be in the best circumstances when we first arrive. And I think, they're the best support system to really guide you and encourage you and to make you feel completely loved. And there was a time, I can't remember when I had this conversation, and I don't remember which archangel I had it with, but I remember one time making a comment. Now, I was a total downer during this channeling session, let me just say. I was like really going through it. And I had made this comment to one of them, and I was like, "You guys are so lucky. You don't have to come here." I had said something to that effect, like, "Oh, you're so glad you don't have to come in a body and do all this stuff." And I totally remember one of them saying, "While we don't like physically incarnate, we feel everything that you're going through. Like, they literally feel the depth of your pain, they feel the sadness, they feel the joy, they feel all of that very intensely. They're very caring beings." I remember, I was, I don't, I let me just tell people, I do not do this often. I do this in my private time, so I'm not advertising this because I'm not doing this for anybody. But there was a time, not too long ago, I was doing a little bit of mediumship and talking to somebody who, a spirit that I have a very, at least I'd like to think we have a close connection. And he had made a comment to me, because the archangels were also there, that he really wanted me to be very aware that they are very caring beings. Like, they really do. I don't want to say they can relate, because they're not here in a body and going through all this stuff, but they really can feel the depth of everything that you're experiencing here, and they feel it like 10 times. So, they really do want to support you, and they really do want to give you that love. And they can't do the work for you, of course, but they are sentient beings just like us. And I feel like that's kind of really important for people to know. If you, even if you feel, because some people feel like, oh, they're in the clouds and it's, very sweet and all of that. And it's hard because they haven't had a physical life, so they can't actually relate to what you're going through, but they can, they have, God forbid, like foresight, they can, and, hindsight, like they can see the whole thing, and they can, understand why you're perceiving something a certain way, or why you're reacting a certain way, or why you might be experiencing something so intensely in that moment. So, they have this profound understanding, and that's something I really do want to mention to people. Because sometimes, again, there's a very, I think, terrible stereotype about them, but they're very, for lack of a better phrase, down to earth. Like, they get it.
Yeah, they really do. And they know that our purpose here is to learn. And they know that our purpose is to experience different things. And so they're not going to stand in the way of that. They're not going to try to prevent anything from happening. They're not going to stop your free will from making choices and experiencing certain things, even if the experience is maybe not what they know you deserve, or not what they know is best for you, because they know in the grand scheme of things, it's what your soul needs. Your soul needs to have these experiences and embody these emotions so that you can grow and so that you can develop and become more in tune with your higher self and live out these things. So a lot of times people want to ask the angels, like, well, should I do this? Should I do that? They're not going to answer any shoulds for you. You know, now they might jokingly be like, do you really think you should do that? But they're not going to make choices for you. And they don't judge you when you make a decision that you shouldn't make, because they do understand that the reason you're here is to experience all of these emotions and all of these things. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You know, if you knew it all and you had learned all the lessons, then you wouldn't be having the experience.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it is worth mentioning again that they know we're here to learn, like get our learn on. And I, you know, I do have very crazy conversations with them. I'm like, dude, I don't want to learn anything else. Like, I got it all down, you know, like, I mean, we're in this school, you know, school of hard knocks. I'm good. I'm good. You know, it's like, what possibly else do I need to know? But I think it's really helpful to hear that. And for people to hear that, because a lot of us also can be hard on ourselves while we're here on earth and we're trying to learn some of these really difficult lessons. And the one thing that they always tell me is like, look, you know, you need to kind of have some compassion for yourself, like you're learning, you know, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult for us to give that to ourselves. You know, like it's easy for me to give it to other people, but when I make mistakes, you know, it's like, how did I make that mistake? I don't understand like how I could make, you know, and they're just kind of like, it's okay. You know, that's the whole purpose of being here. That's how you grow, you know, and evolve on the earth. And it's great it's like, oh, okay, I have this, you know, I have this support system and it's great to hear it. But it's still, how could I have done that?
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I agree. Like they definitely, I would say almost every time I connect to the angels, whether it's for myself or for somebody else, the message is always like, love yourself as much as we love you. Like, yes. Understand your importance and your significance and don't beat yourself up. Like, have compassion and understanding for yourself. You know, we all make mistakes. Everybody here is making mistakes. So just let it go and learn from it and give yourself that love that we have for you. And I think that's why they come when you do connect to them, they come with so much love, especially if the connection is new, because that's the biggest message they want you to have is, you know, they want you to feel that unconditional love for yourself that they have. And then the more you work with them, that's when they might start coming, giving you more of the tough love speeches.
Yes, it's like they become spicier.
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And you're so right about that too. It is very, they do want you to, yes, have compassion for yourself, for your journey, for the missteps, for, you know, your negative thoughts at times. But they do want you to like see yourself like through the eyes of the creator, if you will, to a certain extent. It's like, you know, it's a tough journey here. It's okay to keep falling and picking yourself back up, but you're so much more than what you think you are. And your capability, you have so many capabilities. It's just, you may not believe that because of, let's say, how you were raised or what the world tells you can and cannot do. And, you know, we subscribe to this more than anything else. So it's like, they're great at trying to give you more of a holistic perspective and yes, you know, champion you and support you and give you that tough love as well. But I do think they're such a profound, they're profound messengers. They're really, I don't know. I feel so grateful all the time that I know, you get to that point where, you know, when you need them or call upon them, boom, they're there in that second. I mean, without a doubt, it's like I think some people think that you have to go through these massive rituals to invoke them, but really all it takes is the thought or call them out and boom, they're right. They're there. Like, especially if you can feel them, oh, you know, they're there in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes me think about a lot of people have more of like this purity issue where they feel like they're not good enough to connect to angels. Like angels are so far and beyond my connection because I'm not pure enough, or I'm not good enough, or I'm a bad person. And the angels do not think or see anything like that. They will be there for you, at, like you said, at a thought. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're currently doing. They are here to support everyone along their journey. And you don't need to do anything. You don't have to be a certain way to connect to them.
Exactly. So I was wondering, okay, I wanted to kind of get your perspective on this. So when I engage with the archangels, like I'll talk about anything, nothing's off the table. And I guess always in my mind, I've always held that belief that why shouldn't I be able to ask about really anything that's on my mind or what's happening in the state of the world or current events or what have you. So for me, when I engage or channel them, anything is on the table. Like we can discuss anything. Now that doesn't mean I'm going to get the answers to everything. You know, they'll reveal what they want. But to me, there's no limitation. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I also agree that the angels are here to support humans with everything going on, whether that's our personal lives, our spiritual growth, our healing, or what's going on in the world. And so if you want to talk to them and ask them questions and get their opinions from, you know, on something that can help change a perspective or enlighten something, I think that you can ask them whatever you want. Now, like you said, they may not necessarily have something to say about certain topics, or what they say may not be exactly what you wanted to hear, but they'll definitely answer whatever questions you have.
Yes, 100%. And I want people to really know that, because I've encountered some people who think that certain topics are really off limits, or that they're not going to hold a perspective or share information about certain topics. And there really are no limits. You know, the only exception is like, okay, yeah, I can ask questions, and yeah, they may not answer, you know, give me the entire revelation, but you know, they might give me a breadcrumb or what have you, but you can really talk to them about anything, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they are invested in our lives and what's going on, because they want what is best for all of mankind. And if they can give you a perspective or answer something that's going to reshape the way that you think about something, or help you see something from an angle that's really going to improve your overall stance on something, or just make you feel better or at peace about something, they're going to share it with you. I have noticed that sometimes, like you said, they will give you just a piece or a breadcrumb, because I often get told by the angels when I ask them kind of more bigger or serious questions, they'll tell me a little bit and they're like, you've got to figure the rest out, or
yeah,
you've got to do some more on your journey before you can get more information on that. But they never just refuse to answer.
Exactly. And I want people to really know that they're not, you know, they're available. I'll put it like that. Like they're definitely available. And yes, you know, like you said, bigger topics, they may just drop, you know, a tiny bit of information, and you have to do some groundwork, do some, mm-hmm. you know, do some research. They'll be there supporting you, guiding you, pointing you in the right direction that you need to go to. But mm-hmm. I always find that I can talk to them about anything. And now granted, sometimes it's redundant and they're like, okay, here we go again. Like, mm-hmm. here we go again. Year 2022. Like, we're talking about this again, but you know, they're very, 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 my God, patient.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I've asked them, you know, I've talked to them about like, why is there so much division and there's so much mm-hmm. hatred in the world when it comes to, you know, racism and LGBTQ community and just things like that. And a lot of times they just tell me, you know, you have to get through these, humanity has to get through these fearful emotions in order to fall into love. And there's just so many of the population that are still in these lower emotions. And until they do the work and until they get to a place where they can allow more love in, that's just what has to come out. But as far as, you know, the way that the world is going and like the light that's being shown on a lot of this, they keep encouraging me that that's a good sign because things have to be illuminated before they can get better. And so they tell me it's more like they're shining light on these issues and all, and on this hatred and all these things going on, not to scare us and not to make things worse, but to remind people that this is what we want to overcome. We want to change the world. We want to be better. We want to allow more love in. But before we can allow more love in, we have to see how bad things are.
Yes.
And so like things like that, they share those kind of things. They care.
Yes, they do share those types of things, everybody. I feel like, again, thank you for saying that, because I have received personal feedback that, oh, you know, the angels would never address those types of topics. And I'm like, I wonder why people would think that. You know, I mean, I think every state of consciousness, every form of light being has an investment in our growth, right? And we can't be delusional about what's occurring on the planet. You know, and I think sometimes people are very delusional in this community. Like, if you close your eyes, it's not occurring. Well, it really is. And we're all connected. So what's happening to you know, one in one part of the world is really affecting us as a whole on multiple levels, right? And there are consequences. So I think, you know, to be empowered spiritually is not just to be like conscious and aware, but to figure out how you can, you know, help to shift things into a better direction. But you can't do that if you are in this state of delusion and you're, you know, pretending. But in my personal view, it's like you collaborate with the divine to help find solutions so that we can be better, whether that is, you know, like you said, shining a light on what's happening, you know, the unfortunate things that are happening, or working with spirit to, yeah, find a way, make the right connections with people so that, I don't know, certain atrocities, you know, can get addressed so that we can heal parts of our own, like, negative consciousness, whatever the work may be on an individual level. I don't understand, you know, in a personal sense, why people feel as if, you know, okay, this is happening in the world, these dark things, but we're so enlightened that, you know, we shouldn't be participating or addressing it. And we can just pretend that it's all going to go away on its own, because none of it is spiritual, which is also insane to me. And we're just going to evolve to the fifth dimension, and we're all good to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds to me kind of just, honestly, it sounds like escapism, people that don't want to face reality. And they have came to me before and told me, you know, there are different purposes towards towards spiritual beings when it comes to what they're meant to do here. And there are the people that are activists, and they're supposed to get actually involved in making these changes and helping people reach that love and light. And then there are people who are more in the background, where they're just supposed to send love and light out, as instead of being more active and in it, but just more from, I guess, more of like a reclusive setting, where they do the work on themselves and it still helps affect those around them, because they're still shining that love and light outward. So there's still different polarities and different people that are helping change the world, whether that is through activism or whether it's not. But you still can't deny that it's there. It's still going on. It's still existing. You don't have to go out there and, you know, actually try to make physical changes, but you still need to support those that are, because it's still connected.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's very connected. And like you said, you were having conversations with the archangels about what's going on. And, you know, it is important, you know, to everybody who's listening, like if you are concerned about what's happening, whether it's at the level of your community or nation or whatever it is, you can sit down and engage in these conversations, you know, with any like divine being to get their perspective, because I think a lot of us, just even being, you know, this is what it is to be a human, is to have these natural concerns about what's, you know, what's happening and how it's affecting everybody. And yeah, the potential, you know, potential outcomes. And I think it's okay. It's more than okay to sit down and ask spirit, or ask, you know, your angels, guardian angels, doesn't matter. Like, how can I help? If you feel called to help, you know, like, what's my role and how can I contribute and how can I shift my consciousness, you know, to, I don't know, assist in some way. So I think it's okay to sit down. It's more than okay. Like, if you feel very passionate about it, then that's kind of a sign that perhaps you should be doing something about it or moving forward in that direction.
Absolutely. If you're feeling called towards anything, you can guarantee that more than likely it's Archangel Michael directing you towards that purpose, directing you through passion towards your alignment. And your alignment is important because it's going to help everything in the grand scheme of things, no matter what, where you fall in your purpose, no matter what that looks like for you. And just reaching out and saying, hey, you know, is there anything I can do about this? Or I'm feeling called towards this. What, you know, what is that about? And just kind of seeing where that goes. But they'll definitely guide you towards the right path for you. And it's going to look different for everybody. But don't, you know, don't feel like you can't ask them about anything, whether it's your what you're currently experiencing or what the world is experiencing.
Exactly. So I wanted to ask you about channeling, channeling the archangels in particular, and what that journey has been like or is currently like for you.
So channeling is something that I'm still a little new to. I'm still working on the letting go aspect when it comes to full-blown channeling. I channel a lot when I don't intend to. So it's usually when I speak, and it's usually when I'm helping someone else. So if it happens a lot in my sessions. So if someone comes to me and they're, you know, I have all these questions about my life purpose and what I'm supposed to be doing, it's like I can tune in to this frequency and then start instantly giving them advice on where they need to go, what they need to do, or what's happening. And then I snap out of it and I'm like, yep, so did you get that? Because I don't remember anything that happened. So that's about how my experience goes when it comes to channeling. Is I just kind of, it's like word vomit. It just starts coming out really fast and I don't really retain what I say. And that's about it. Now, when it comes to channeling for myself, I try to use like a journal and write as I channel. That way I can go back and read it. Because if I don't do that, then a lot of times I won't remember exactly what was said.
Yes, it is so hard. Like even, you know, you have questions and you ask, and it's always harder when you're doing it for yourself because you're like, am I just making this up? Or am I just wanting to hear this answer? Or, you know what I mean? Like it's always very difficult. I find for me, it's way easier when I have another person who's asking questions that I can't even anticipate. That is so much better. But if I already know what you're going to ask or something like that, that's when, you know, the ego comes in and everything gets very, very messy. But I have tried, let me tell you. So I have tried, which is, this is such, yes, it's a journey and God help me. I have to take breaks every once in a while. But when I'm, let's say I'm practicing with a friend and the archangels are there and, you know, they're asking me a question, I can hear the answer, but sometimes depending on, I don't know, the situation, what the energy is like, I might ask like, look, why don't you just hop in and let's try this, you know, and let's see what it's like. Because I've read stories about, you know, entities taking over people's bodies and, doing, you know, what is it like, what is it called? Trance channeling. And, that has never happened for me in that way, in like the textbook way, but I have tried on my own, you know, alone with them. And it's like, I can, you know, feel them move in. And then I sit there because I'm like, okay, you're inside me. What next? Like, what's the next step? And I'll take some breaths and it'll just tell me relax and then just open your mouth and start talking. And it's such a weird thing. I have not mastered this in this way. Sometimes it works. Most of the times it's, I don't know. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm very curious about this. And you said something about letting go. And I feel like that's the same thing for me. It's kind of the resistance that I have, you know, to letting something outside myself really fully take over 100%.
Yeah.
I
do the same thing. Like I want to be able to do the trance channeling really bad. Like it really draws me in and I want to be able to do it, but I just haven't found a way to completely let go yet. Maybe one day I will, but I've noticed it's more like in like you said, like if I ask a question or someone asks me a question, then I can kind of step aside a little bit so that I can hear what I'm saying, but it's not really me saying it. And then, but then I snap back and then I'm there again. And then I have to kind of do it again in between questions. It's like I have to come back and then let go and then come back and then let go. And it's really funny because I was actually doing that with Archangel Michael one day. I was actually in the shower and I was asking him questions and I was like, so I was asking him to help me with like my clairaudience. And I was like, I know that I'm clairaudient and I hear the voices all the time, but I told him, I was like, I don't ever hear, like, it just always sounds like it's my own voice. And I was like, what can I do to kind of strengthen that or help me with that? And he kind of like did the eye roll and he was like, you're channeling Archangel Michael right now, duh. And I'm like, and I'm like, did I just make that up? And he's like, no, take a deep breath and let me in. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and he just told me, he was like, you're already doing it. You're doing it all the time. You just are second guessing yourself. You don't realize that you're doing it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And he's like, yeah, I know I'm right.
I think he's a specific way that we think it's supposed to happen and a specific way it's supposed to look like. That's what I kind of think. So, what is that woman's name? God help me. The one who channels Abraham, isn't it like Esther Hicks? Isn't that her name?
Yeah.
So when she, channels, that's what I feel like it's supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, that's the level I'm trying to get to, but it doesn't look like that.
Mm-mm. It doesn't. And I think that maybe with more development so that you can kind of get to that space where you completely let go, it probably could look like that. But I think especially with the angels, I think most of the time they don't want to take over for that amount of time. At least I've never felt like they've wanted to take over for that amount of time. They normally have really quick messages. They want to get straight to the point and then they want to let you digest it. So I've never really felt like an angel wanted to take over.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, I guess we'll just both have to keep practicing and see where we get over the next year. Oh my God. And what you said too, is what makes it so difficult is the trusting. And then the doubt, it's like, you just begin to question because you hear it as yourself.
Yep.
It sounds like you, and you're like, that can't possibly be Michael speaking. And no, but it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I told him. I was like, I've heard other voices before, but most of the time, the other voices that I hear are they're not other voices. They sound like a thought. And he just told me, he was like, you just have to trust. And he was like, really think about it. He was like, ask a question and then really, because I'm very clairsentient. He was like, feel how it feels. He was like, ask yourself how this feels as the thought comes in. He's like, and you'll notice it doesn't feel like your normal thoughts do. It feels different. It feels like, it feels a little deeper.
Yeah, that is very true. That's a good point. Oh, this work is so crazy. It is so crazy to be doing this.
Maybe we'll have to do practice sessions with each other so we can get better at it.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I know. It's something I think about quite frequently because yes, I can feel them. I know when they're here, I've gotten to that point where I'm like, yes, I know. But when I sit down to say, okay, everybody, tonight at, 7 o'clock, we're going to be doing a little short practice session. I need some of y'all to show up and they're there. And then I'm trying, I'm like, am I making this up? Is this a fictitious message? But the good thing I will say with more practices, sometimes when I'm practicing, and then I think I've gotten a message out, they'll check me, they'll say, correction. And I'll hear that like correction, go back. And so I've started to hear that quite a bit, like, oh God, I must be making up all kinds of stuff because y'all are correcting me all the time. I was like, I have high hopes, but it is so much practice though.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I feel like anybody on this kind of path that they're wanting to really connect spiritually and they're wanting to deepen that, you're never going to be done practicing. I mean, yes. I think that you always can grow those abilities and those skills.
Yes. And that's a good point too. Like you always have to practice and you always have to, it's like mastering your craft. That's what it is. No matter what industry you're in, you know, you get better with practice and time. So it's the same thing. So for people who reach out and they're like, oh, I tried, you know, I tried meditating or I tried this and nothing came. Well, try again. And then again, and then again, and again, and again, and again. And then at some point in time, there will be a breakthrough. And then you have to trust that breakthrough as well. And that's the difficult part. But that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like for me. It's just the constant like, okay, I got to practice again. I got to sit here and do this. You know, it's just, you know, and yes, through the years, certain things get a little bit easier and come a little bit faster, but then others need work.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say the thing that has completely transformed my personal journey is trust. It's just trusting what you see, hear, feel, or know, or however that intuitive information comes to you. Just trust it. And once you start trusting, then it's easier to decipher what is ego and thought and what was intuitive download. But you have to have that trust that you're actually receiving it first. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to decipher and tell the difference between what is what.
Exactly. And the trust is always, oh, that's always the hard part, no matter what. It is always, especially when you are going through a situation that is really, you know, it's really hard. And there are major consequences, and then you're asking, and that trust is critical at that time. And I get it. Because the world is not always that easy.
Yeah. But are you familiar with Cal Gray?
Yes, I have a couple of his decks.
So he did this interview, and it's like one of my favorite interviews to reference because it's like, I just love the story. It's so incredible. But he talks about when he first started channeling the angels for other people. His mom threw him like this party, as kind of like a coming out party to say, hey, Cal can do readings for everybody. And a family friend was like, well, if you can read angels, you know, do an angel reading for me. And he was like, okay. And so he just kind of looks at him and he starts hearing the Destiny's Child song, Survivor. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're a survivor. And the guy's like, huh? And then he just gets this instant other hit that the guy actually tried to commit suicide and his friend, his partner saved him. And he was like, you tried to commit suicide and you were saved. And the guy was super shocked and was like, oh my gosh, like really surprised that he picked up on that, but he was right. And so Kyle likes to point out, like, the angels will still use our frame of reference. They're going to use pop culture references. They're going to use songs that we like and that we know. They're going to use movie references. And a lot of times when we have those kind of hits, we're like, oh, I just made that up because I was watching Mean Girls yesterday or something, you know? And it's like, no, like, they know you were watching Mean Girls yesterday. So they used that reference on purpose.
Yes. That's so true too. That's another fantastic point, because many people think that when you're sitting down working at the angels or you're giving a message from the angels, there has to be this celestial music in the background playing before they arrive and they're, you know, all of that. And it's like, no, like you said, they use your frame of reference. So whatever it is that you were doing or that you're familiar with or whatever is going to help to get the message across clearly, that's what they're going to use no matter what.
Yes, absolutely. And that's also why, interpretation and perception is something that you also have to work on, because, you know, what they send you, it might take you a little bit to really understand what that means for you or what that was supposed to mean for you. And it's really good to have these practice sessions so you can say, okay, well, the angels, they showed me a glass bottle for me means that maybe I need to work on recycling more, or, you know, something like that. But you might be wrong on some of your interpretations, but it doesn't mean that you didn't actually have the connection or that the message didn't come through. It just means that maybe the interpretation was off a little bit.
Yes. And I think that's another for people who are wondering, like, how do you learn your symbols and how do you get to that point where you can give those types of messages? Well, it is through finding a group and practicing nonstop, because the more you practice and when you practice with a variety of different people, you'll start to get various symbols. And then, yes, you might get it wrong a few times and then finally you'll get it. And then that just becomes a part of your, you know, repertoire that you can reference. Like, oh, okay, I'm being shown a red apple. I know exactly what this means. So here's the message, I can deliver it. And I was at this fair a few years ago, and this person was sitting in front of me, and I saw an empty closet with hangers. I didn't know what it meant. I was like, I'm not going to even try to guess. Two people later, I saw the same thing, and I was like, okay, let me just ask some questions. So I asked some questions, and I felt like I was close, but I wasn't quite close. And then finally, the third person, I was like, here we go again. I cannot believe this. This is like the worst time for this to be happening. And then I finally got the message that, you know, it meant that somebody had, you know, it was in the process of moving or about to move. And I'm just like, I would have never, that's the message. But it took several times, but that's what it looks like. And I tell people it is like playing charades, which does frustrate me. I'm not going to lie. It does, you know, but you, at some point you will get the message, and then you'll have it to, you know, help somebody else later. And that's how, mm-hmm. that's how it works though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're always communicating in signs and symbols and little flashes of images or words and songs. And it's also because we can't maintain the level of vibration that we need to connect to them all the time. Like, it's just impossible in the type of world and society that we live in. So they have to find ways to sneak things in or send things to us really quickly, so that we don't have to try to maintain that level of vibration. And so sometimes it's going to be really quick and it's going to feel like half a message, but it's the best that they could do at that time based on the situation you were in.
Exactly. So last question, since I know you've been on for a while, there are certain archangels I have never come into contact with, right? I was writing this down today and I was like, who has never like come said hi to me? very egotistical. I was like, wait a minute, I wrote this list. I was like, okay, Metatron, he's never come to me directly, but he's come in a group that I've like practiced with before. Sandal Fawn has never come to me. Not like they have to, y'all, but I'm just saying, like, these are people.
They're going to now.
Yes, they're gonna show up in a dream. Haniel, Zadkiel, I have a short story about that. Ragwell, I have heard of Jophiel. She's come many times, but everybody else, I feel like, okay, whoever was there came, but who have you never, I don't know, spoken with or had a discussion with?
To my knowledge, I also don't believe I've ever connected with Sandal Fawn. Okay. I have connected very, very briefly and not a lot with Metatron. He actually came through more for my husband than for me, but mm-hmm. I was aware of his presence. And I've also never connected with Raguel. And I know there's another one that I haven't. I've never connected with Zadkiel either. Not me personally. Mm-hmm. He's connected to my husband, but not me.
Yeah, not me either. But I was practicing with a friend of mine, and my friend asked whoever I was channeling at the time, he was like, which archangel should I speak with? And then I heard loudly Zadkiel, and I was like, wait a minute, I have never, ever spoken with Zadkiel. And so we were just having this long discussion about it and why he needed to speak with them. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. I know I don't feel entitled. Okay, let me just put it like that. I don't feel entitled to anything at all. But there are different interactions that you have. You know, it's a different experience. And yeah, I appreciate all of it. But I was very, very curious because, you know, I do watch people do channeling sessions and they, you know, can, I don't know, connect to, I feel like anything in the universe comes. And I do, you know, I feel like I really work for my, you know, my bread and butter. It's like, okay, I got to practice again, see if I can pull it in. It's like, it's hanging out there, but I got to pull it in closer. And it takes a lot of work, but I don't know. I was just kind of curious.
Yeah. There's definitely some that I've never connected with. And I have connected with Haniel before, mm-hmm. but she usually comes through when I am actually doing like moon rituals and stuff like that.
Ooh, I like. That's very cool.
Yeah, so it's really very specific times when I can feel her. Same with Jophiel. I've connected with Jophiel before, but she's actually who I call in when I'm doing animal work.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah, so like if I'm doing Reiki on my dogs or something like that, I have one of my pugs has seizures, and so when he's not feeling well, I'll call her in and ask her to help me like heal him and be there for him. So I don't connect with them as much. I also don't connect with Ariel as much either, but I'll feel her when I'm really needing a boost of like confidence and strength for sure.
That's very cool. Oh, it's just so neat. I just think it's, to me, it's just the whole thing is there are days I sit down and think about like how strange it is sometimes to be here because, I get up, I do my 9 to 5 and then, or 8 to 5 or 7 to 5, whatever it is that day. And then, and I'm like, oh, it's time for the archangels. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's get started. Here's my other life, my other secret life, where I'm doing things. But and the thing is, it's funny that I said that because I do encourage people to have them be a part of your day. They can be a part of your working life, and like you were saying, you're any part of your life really. It doesn't have to be so segmented. But like you said, calling upon them for confidence, strength, whatever you feel like you might need support with, don't be afraid to call for them in that moment. And you can call for them in your head. You don't have to say it out loud. I do want to tell people that, they still hear you. Even, if you're in your head and you have to do a presentation, you're freaking out. It's like, help me now in this moment.
And a lot of people think like they'll get, I guess sometimes they'll hesitate to call on the angels because they'll be like, well, I don't know which one to call on. And I just like to tell people, well, just call, say archangel, like call on all of them, and the one that's meant to help you with that certain thing or the one that wants to help you at that certain moment, they'll come through. And that's actually happened to me before where I was like, I don't know who's going to come through. And so I just felt the energy shift, and then I just ask, who's here? And I'm like, oh, this is Gabriel. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Thank you, Gabriel, for being here.
Yes. And yes, they will come no matter what. They will always be there. So don't be afraid. Don't think that you're too small or they're not going to hear you or you're not important enough for them to be available. You're always going to be important enough, and they always do want to assist us on our journey.
And Kyle Gray's book, Angel Prayers, that actually really helped me with that belief because that book is a really good beginner book for people that are just wanting to learn more about the angels and how to connect, because he really helps you understand that they truly want to help you, that you don't have to beg them for assistance. And he encourages you, instead of to ask, like, angel, will you help me? He encourages that you begin every prayer or statement or whatever, however you want to express it, to say thank you, angel, for doing this for me, because it shifts the vibration. Instead of asking, you already are falling into, you know that they're going to, because you're already thanking them for that.
Exactly. Well, Megan, I know we're at time, but thank you for having this discussion with me. I always, I'm always interacting with them all the day. And I was like, God, if anybody were to see what my life was really like, they would think I'm a total lunatic, just talking all the time. Like, oh, what do you think about this? Yes, I am in, I'm certifiably crazy. But thank you for talking with me about, I love talking about them. And, I always want to know people's experiences and what it's like for them. And I think the information you shared is extremely helpful. So thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me back. I really enjoyed this conversation as well. I love talking about the angels and helping people learn how they can start beginning, their connection.
Definitely. Everyone, have a great week ahead. And until next time, yeah, take care. All right. Bye-bye.